To Loikamania episode 23. My name is Pat Loika, and it's been a while since we've last gotten a chance to chat, don't you think? It's been a few weeks, and I apologize for that. Actually, there are many reasons why I haven't put out an episode. I have been, among other things, I've been ill. I have also been out of the country for a few weeks, and when I got back home, I have fallen ill again. Well, now I'm in a good enough position that I can record and share my thoughts with you on the usual, comics, movies, TV, that sort of thing. And I'm feeling a lot better now, and we should be coming out in a regular schedule as well. So again, I apologize for that. I hope everyone had a good holiday season. I hope everyone's having a good new year so far. And you know, it's been a good time for me as well. There's been a lot of stuff going on the last few weeks while I was away. There have been a lot of things going on in the comics biz. There's been a lot of good stuff that's come out, lots of cool books, lots of new things to read and to watch. The last couple of weeks, because when I was out of town, I unfortunately was not in a position to watch any movies because they weren't showing a lot of the movies that have been coming out here over there in Manila where I was. But at any rate, let's just jump right into the new stuff. I typically try to avoid spoilers, but if a book's been out for at least 2 weeks now, I will more than likely spoil the hell out of it because I want to talk about it. I'm not going to talk about anything older than 2 weeks right now, though, because, I want to try and keep current. So I'll talk about stuff that came out this week and stuff that came out last week. And as far as comics go, there's been quite a bit of stuff. And the first book I want to talk about is G.I. Joe Cobra number 12 from IDW. It's written by Mike Costa and Christos Gage and illustrated by the brilliant Antonio Fuso. This is one of those rare occasions where I will spoil a book for you that's current. Because this is everywhere right now. It's actually made USA Today and a few other news outlets. And it's a pretty big development. Because Cobra Commander, everyone knows who he is. I mean, you could be, you may not be a fan of G.I. Joe, but you've probably heard of who he is. And well, in this issue of G.I. Joe Cobra, he has been assassinated. Yes, Cobra Commander is dead. And apparently he might be replaced by someone else because Cobra Commander may be a mantle. And there is going to be a storyline called the Cobra Civil War, which will detail the story of the people who are trying to replace Cobra Commander. But we will, you know, we'll get into that when it starts. We'll talk about this particular issue, though. The cover is great. It's, of course, by Mr. Fuso, and it's modeled after a John Byrne cover of Alpha Flight, issue 19, actually, to be exact. It's an homage, and it says, one shall surely die. And they weren't kidding. You know, we see more of what happens with Chuckles, more of his problems with Zaymot, and of course, finally, the end of Cobra Commander, at least this version of him. It really took me by surprise because I've been reading the book, and we've been seeing Chuckles rise to the prominence within the Cobra organization. And I was rather, I couldn't believe they actually meant they did this. Because, I don't know, it was just such a surprise. I was very pleased by this book. The actual surprise in the book got ruined for me by a text message from a friend. And that really got me excited, though, because, well, it is a ballsy move to kill one of the most iconic villains in pop culture. So, excuse me, they really executed it well. They did everything from the art, the pacing of the book, and the thing is, you don't really know what this thing is going to happen until you get to the actual sequence where it happens. And it was very masterfully done. I have to give credit, of course, to Mr. Gage and Mr. Costa for putting together such an amazing read. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't, you know, and until the point, like I said, until you get to that final sequence where the shot is fired, you didn't know what the hell was going to happen. And they built Chuckles into such a great character to the point where you really aren't sure what he's going to do anyway when he does make his move. And seeing him and seeing what he does here, this is going to reverberate, of course, in the other Joe books. I'm sure this is going to be felt for a long time to come. And while Cobra Commander may be someone that they eventually replace with Ace, this story, I think, will stand out as something, you know, something really memorable. So if you haven't been reading G.I. Joe Cobra, pick it up. It's a beautiful book, really enjoyable story, and, of course, you know, some of the best writing you could ever find on a G.I. Joe comic. This is some good espionage stuff. If you're looking for some good espionage comics, this is for you. So, G.I. Joe Cobra number 12, if you haven't read the rest of the series, find them, because it's great. I mean, if they can make Serpentor a decent character, they could do anything, and that's exactly what they've done in this book. So, G.I. Joe Cobra number 12 by Costa, Gage, and Fuso, buy it. The next book I want to spend some time on is Avengers Academy number 8 by Christos Gage, illustrated by Mike McCone. And this is inked by Rebecca Buckman and colored by Jeremy Cox. This is a follow-up to something that had began in New Avengers. I mean, if you read New Avengers before, you will remember that Tigra was viciously assaulted and abused by the Hood and his gang, and you know it was a tough thing to read if you're a fan of the character or just a fan. I mean, just as a person, because that is unsettling. It's, you know, basically these villains, you know, attacked her in her own home and beat the living crap out of her, and that is not, you know, that's not something you just let slide. And, you know, since then, the Hood has gone to jail, stuff has happened, and it ends up with, you know, currently the Hood is out and about trying to collect the Infinity Gauntlet in the Avengers book, but this actually tells you the story of what happened before that. And we have to see how Tigra is doing since, you know, that whole assault. And the Avengers Academy kids, they do something here that's really despicable. And I'm not going to tell you what. But they do something really despicable. Something that, you know, if you're trying to be an Avenger, this is not one of the things that you do. And I really like the way Tigra has handled things here. They, they talk about the incident. She deals with it, and of course with the kids as well. And it's some really, really good bit of characterization that, you know, I don't even know how to properly express myself about it. It's just so well done, so beautifully done. And I wish that, I'm really glad that they addressed what happened, the whole Hood thing with Tigra, and I'm glad that they revisited it here. And it's nice to see, you know, someone pick up, you know, a character or an incident from another book from way back, properly bookend it, you know, or properly resolve that issue. So if you are not reading Avengers Academy, you are really missing out on one of the best written teen or team books out there. It has a very, very great cast of characters and a very, very it's a very cool cast, and it's very, very unpredictable. You just don't know what's going to happen with these, like from the students to the teachers themselves, because the teachers are not all, the teachers all have some kind of damage, you know, like Tigra, and then of course Hank Pym, Quicksilver, and Justice and Speedball. They've all had their issues, but they're all front and center here, and they're a great cast of people to teach these younger students, these potential Avengers or potential supervillains, who knows. But this has been a great book. Big props to Christos Gage and Mike McCone, because they've been consistent with this book. The art, the writing, it's just great every single month. So pick up Avengers Academy. You will not regret this book. Trust me, I know what I'm talking about here. Another book I want to talk about is a new release from Image called Who is Jake Ellis? It's written by Nathan Edmondson and illustrated by Tansy Zondrick, who I have gushed about before with his Marvel work. And it's a very intriguing miniseries. It's about a spy for hire named John Moore. And he is, he's a spy for hire, works for a lot of criminals. And his partner, a man named Jake Ellis. However, Jake Ellis is a man that only Moore sees, and he's invisible to everyone else. And this guy, whenever things kind of get screwed up, or when things go bad, Ellis, gets him out of there. Like, and he seems to know everything. It's a very interesting concept, and I'm not quite sure where it's going yet, but it has some of Mr. Zondrick's best art, I think. And I've never heard of Mr. Edmondson before, but from what I know, he did a book called Olympus and did something called The Light with Brett Weldaley. And I'm very intrigued by this book. You can't go wrong with another spy book, or I guess you could even call this a crime book to a certain extent because he does work for criminals. I'm very interested and very, very much looking forward to see where this goes. I think you should give it a shot as well. It's called Who is Jake Ellis? It's by Edmondson and Zondrick. You probably will not regret it because I'm vouching for it here. Next is Thor number 619 by Matt Fraction, Pascal Ferry, and Matt Hollingsworth. And big happenings are afoot here. I mean, if you've seen the cover, you already know what happened. And, against his will and against his wishes, Odin has been restored. However, things are not doing too good in Asgard, and he is very, very unhappy with being brought back. There's a lot of things to deal with here. A couple of beloved characters, have passed on, and it's rather unfortunate that they got killed off in the manner they were killed off, stuff happens in this issue, and it's actually really, really strong stuff. I mean, I like the way Matt Fraction writes Odin. Odin's a very cranky and very angry old man, and you can see why, because he did not really want to be brought back. He gave Thor, he gave Thor the right to rule everything. And I guess obviously Thor screwed that up. And based on what happened in the previous issues, like him resurrecting Loki and all that stuff, Odin has been displeased by what Thor has done in his absence. So the father and son dynamic has been returned to the book, but I don't even know how to express it. I guess it's very antagonistic at this point because of the way things are. It should be interesting to see what happens next, especially with this building up to Fear Itself, which is the new Marvel event. Though I will be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of them resurrecting Odin. I think he had a good death, I still remember picking up the issue where Dan Jurgens was writing Thor at the time, and his artist at that particular issue, Stuart Immonen. When they killed him off, that was a very glorious death, fighting against the demon Surtur. And I don't know, I guess there's a reason behind everything. And Matt Fraction, he knows what he's doing. He's a great writer. I love his work. So I really, really have no reason to complain. I'm just trying to figure out what he could possibly have in mind for Odin that they couldn't handle in a different way. But, having him around, as I mentioned earlier, a completely different dynamic to the book. And I don't know how soon we're going to feel the effect of losing the characters we lose here. But Thor has gotten very interesting, and I'm looking forward to seeing where they go next as they build up to, as I mentioned earlier, Fear Itself and the new Thor ongoing book. So we'll see how that goes. And I think that would be it for comics right now. I want to talk a little bit about some movies I saw in the last few weeks and wrap it up. I've been working really hard to ensure that I catch a lot of the movies that I end up missing in the last few weeks of 2010. Within the last few weeks, I was able to see True Grit, The Fighter, and I even got to go to a free screening of The Green Hornet before it came out. And I enjoyed all three movies. I mean, for different reasons, you know, for different reasons. I know the Green Hornet movie is universally panned for the most part, but it was very entertaining. And you know, if you go to a movie and you're not entertained, then there's something wrong with that. And I found myself entertained. I was laughing my ass off for a lot of the sequences. I thought Jay Chou was great as Kato, and Christoph Waltz, of course, was brilliant as Chudnovsky. I don't really care for. I think Rogan's pretty. I don't know. Rogan is. He seems to play himself all the time, and that's what I felt watching this. I mean, the worst thing about this movie is Rogan himself, and he co-wrote this movie. And I can only imagine how difficult it was for Michel Gondry to film this film, considering all the stuff that had gone on before he even got on board. And it's a very interesting movie, because there are many. There are a lot of Seth Rogenisms in the movie, and at the same time, when Michel Gondry gets to do his thing, you see when it's him that's actually in control too. I mean, it's a very schizophrenic movie as far as what direction they're trying to go, and as far as the writing and there's quite a bit of stuff they tried to do, and there are some really really cool bits. I mean, the final action sequence was amazing. It is ridiculous. It was fun, and it looked cool, and it's definitely worth it. It's definitely worth watching. If you cannot stand Seth Rogen, you probably will not want to watch this, because you will find yourself irritated. I think the biggest thing that irritated me about the movie is, you know, aside from him, it's the fact that the character doesn't seem to, you know. It feels like there is no character arc. Like, Britt Reed's character is the same asshole that he was at the beginning of the movie, which is probably my biggest issue with it, because he becomes a superhero to begin with, because he wanted to piss off his dad, who already died. You know what I mean? It's, the character is just, I don't know, it's just unlikable. You find yourself rooting for the villain more than for the sidekick more than you root for the main hero. Heck, the villain I thought was a much better character. I mean, we only got like what 15, 20 minutes of screen time out of Christoph Waltz, who was brilliant, by the way. It's a shame, but no, like I said, it's an entertaining movie. The you know, it's worth it to see. I mean, the opening sequence alone actually made it worthwhile for me, because there's a special guest cameo that I will not ruin for you. But Waltz and Chow, they steal the show. This should have been more of them in the movie. At any rate, our next movie I want to talk about is The Fighter. And this is based off of a true story. It stars Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, Amy Adams, and it's directed by David Russell. It's about, you know, it's a story of Mickey Ward and his half brother Dickie Eklund. And you know, Dickie Eklund was a guy who kind of you know, he was going somewhere in boxing, and then of course he got caught up in drugs and all that stuff, and he had just become such a screw up. Whereas Mickey, played by Wahlberg, is trying to, you know, kind of rise up the ranks in the boxing world. And it's a very, it's a very cool, very nice biographical sports film, I guess, is what they would call this. It's a nice, very somewhat inspirational story, seeing how people rise above their problems or their issues to become better. Christian Bale has a very amazing performance here as Eklund, and he really put a lot into this role. Just look at the way he looks here, like all the weight he lost. He definitely looks like a junkie, and it's amazing that this is the same guy who plays Batman with the indecipherable voice. It's unbelievable what they pulled off in this movie as far as his role is concerned. Definitely worth seeing. I mean, like most sports movies, you kind of get a happy ending, and you can kind of tell because, I mean, it's based off of a true story. So obviously, their lives picked up and got better, and it's nice to see a good boxing movie. And we haven't seen one since Rocky or whatever, the last Rocky, from what I remember. And boxing movies have always been something that I enjoyed because, I don't know, there's something about that sport that I find very interesting as far as, you know, preparation or training and all that. And this comes out alongside a new FX show called Lights Out, which is, again, a boxing drama. I think it's cool to see boxing kind of returning to the spotlight, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's partly because of the rising popularity of boxers like Manny Pacquiao. This is a very entertaining film. It's very solid. There's some humor in it. I mean, this goes to dark places sometimes as far as addiction goes, particularly with Christian Bale's character. But it's a great movie. It's very enjoyable, very inspirational. I highly recommend it. So yes, go see The Fighter. You will thank me because it is a great film. Next movie on the docket is the amazing adaptation of True Grit by the Coen brothers. There was an original film in 1969 by John Wayne, but this is a new version, adapted directly from the book, so it's going to be a little bit different from that movie. It's not really a remake per se, even though it appears that way. It's, I guess I would say it's a better adaptation than the original, which is still, a strong movie by itself. This stars Jeff Bridges as Rooster Cogburn, Matt Damon, Josh Brolin, and Haley Steinfeld, and she is phenomenal as Maddie Ross. Again, the Coen brothers, they're the master. I think they're pretty much undisputed, in my eyes anyway, masters of film, because there's two of them. They have done pretty much every other genre you could think of. I think the only thing I don't remember them doing, I don't think they've ever done any sci-fi stuff, but man, any other movie, any kind of genre, they seem to be able to attack and do really well. This is, of course, a Western, and somewhat of a revenge story, and it's Maddie trying to avenge the death of her father, and she hires Rooster Cogburn to avenge her dad's murder. And the Haley Steinfeld, such a great actress. This is the first thing, apparently, she's done, first film she's done, and she has given off a performance that that's unbelievable for someone her age. There are many scenes where she just literally steals the movie, and of course Rooster Cogburn, as played by Jeff Bridges, is just a very fascinating character. He's a very funny character too. I enjoyed the interaction between him and pretty much every other character there, because he is such a grumpy old jerk, and he's such a problematic person to deal with, and it's great to see how people play off him, from his interactions with Maddie or with LaBeouf, and it's very, he's such a great presence on screen. Jeff Bridges has, I've always liked him. I've loved him since, to be quite honest, since The Big Lebowski, which is when pretty much started taking notice of him as being such a great actor because of his ridiculously fun role in that movie. I really enjoyed seeing the wide diversity of roles that he had taken. And for some reason, he injects a bit of himself into every role, because he is always unmistakably Jeff Bridges in every role. And he's not like some actors who basically just take a role and just act like themselves. Bridges can be very menacing, like you've seen in Iron Man, and we see a little bit of that here when you finally see him in action. And then he's also very, he can be bumbling and stupid, like you saw in Big Lebowski, and you get to see some of that here too. It's really, really cool you know, to see this actor, the way he's risen in the last few years. I think this movie may be one of his best performances. I don't know if he's going to get nominated for an Oscar or anything like that, but I think it'll be worth it. I think he pulls off such a great performance here. He does a lot of things that you know, that's very, you know, very, there's a lot, he does like some subtle things, like some mannerisms that really enhance the character that he plays every time. And this is probably one of the best performances I've seen from him since his you know, his Oscar-winning role in Crazy Heart. So go see True Grit. I mean, if you've read the book, then you kind of know how this goes. If you've seen the original movie, well, don't be afraid to check this out, because this is a very cool, I guess it's somewhat modernized as far as the, you know, techniques go and filming techniques and craft is concerned. I think much better than the original. But again, this is, you know, if you're going to compare this to anything compared to the book, because that's what it was directly based off of, and not a remake of, you know, an existing film, you know. So yeah, check out True Grit. It's next to The Social Network, it's probably my favorite movie of 2010. So that should be it. At any rate, we'll have to cut this short at this point. Next week, we will be talking more in depth, talking about some stuff that's been going on in, you know, as far as comic news go. There's a lot of things that were announced, a lot of things that I want to kind of talk about for a little bit, and then just, you know, comment about. If you have questions or if you have any concerns, shoot me an email at theloika@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to respond to you. And that should be it. You guys take care. It's good to be back, and I will see you next week.